This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Listen to us on KPFK, KPFA, and other Pacifica affiliates, and watch us on Free Speech TV Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Reports of hate crimes and abuses by supporters of President-elect Donald Trump against people of color in the U.S. have spiked over the past couple of weeks. Among the latest targets of their collective wrath is Seattle City Council member Kshama Sawant. She's an Indian American activist and member of the Socialist Alternative Party. Sawant became the first Socialist City Council member in Seattle's history in 2013 and then went on to win re-election in 2015. In the wake of the presidential election, she spoke at a rally organized by Socialist Alternative in Seattle, and this is what she said.
But on Inauguration Day, we are going to shut it down!
And since the video of her talk went public, Sawant's office has been flooded by angry calls from Trump supporters, many of whom have leveled ugly, racist and sexist threats at her. One person threatened to, quote, tattoo a swastika on her forehead. A petition to remove her from the city council has been signed by tens of thousands of people. Well, I'm pleased now to welcome to our program Seattle City Council member Kshama Sawant. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, we live in very, very interesting times indeed. Can you first tell us what the response has been to you personally, to your office, since the video of you that we just played went online and people have responded to it? Some very ugly things have come out of it. From your perspective, what has happened?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. And as you said, we live in interesting times. In the speech that you played, as you know, I called for massive demonstrations on Inauguration Day. And the speech itself was made the day after the election results were announced, when millions of people I know in all around the country were quite distraught and just demoralized by the fact that an outright right-wing demagogue, bigot, racist, misogynist, a guy who's been accused several times of sexual, predatory behavior, could be elected to the White House. And so at the protest that we called on midnight, we had 6,000 people show up spontaneously there. And many of them were young people who were upset, but also really raring to fight against Donald Trump's vision for American society and fight for all their vision of society of peace, of a society free of bigotry and oppression. And since then, my office has been flooded with phone calls, emails, Facebook messages, Twitter messages from right-wing people saying that this was absolutely unacceptable that we were protesting, and many of them were racist and misogynist messages, people saying I should go back to India, with reference to the fact that I'm an immigrant person. And at the same time, what's intriguing is that we've also had phone calls from Trump supporters who are working people. They may have anti-immigrant ideas, they may have some racially biased ideas, but it's also clear that many of them have voted for Trump because they are angry at the fact that the corporate establishment, in terms of both the Republican and Democratic parties, have completely betrayed them. The bottom has fallen from their living standards, and they have believed that Trump is going to deliver them from this kind of economic stagnation. They're angry at economic inequality. And my staff and I have, engaged with them on those phone calls, and we've said, you know what? Trump is going to completely disappoint you. His transition team is full of the same corporate lobbyists that he railed against. He said, let's drain the swamp, but he's brought the swamp back with a vengeance. And so I think it's an interesting thing how we absolutely have to be unbending against the racist agenda, and at the same time understand that we have to build solidarity among the 99%.
I'm wondering what you think the role of elected officials needs to be at this moment. You know, we had President Obama and other Democrats after the election results were known saying we need to have a peaceful transition. But then with you saying at the inauguration must be shut down, a lot of the responses aimed at you have implied that as a leader, this is not the kind of thing you should be doing. What do you think?
Right. I'm really glad you asked that question. I think it's very important. And just to clarify, I mean, obviously, I don't, you know, I'm not saying that we should legally challenge Trump's election. I mean, he's won the Electoral College vote. I mean, such as it is with all its deficiencies, that's what's happened. I don't expect that the inauguration will be stopped, actually. But what I mean is we need to build massive demonstrations to shut down the agenda that his election represents, the agenda of racism, the potential programs of targeting Muslim people, immigrants from Mexico and other Latin American countries, an agenda that is going to go after abortion rights in the form of an attack on the Supreme Court decision of Roe v. Wade. And for people who believe that, you know, as elected officials, we shouldn't be doing this, I actually would disagree completely. And I would actually call into question this whole idea of, well, let's give Trump a chance. You know, I think Hillary Clinton said something like, let's give him a chance. Obama said, well, we need to work with him because his success will be our success. I completely disagree, because if you are looking at what he's promised to do in his campaign, what Trump has promised to do, he said he's going to have Muslims being forced to register. He said he's going to deport or incarcerate 3 million immigrants. He has promised that he's going to nominate a Supreme Court justice who will actively go to overturn Roe v. Wade. We are also facing a real potential of severe and massive attacks against the labor movement, against workers. He's threatening to have a national right to work law, which will really eviscerate public sector unions. If that's what he is going to carry out, then I think it is our moral and historic duty to be against that. I'm not going to be wishing him success in his divisive agenda and going after regular working people and intensify the problems that we are already facing in the 99%. We actually have to unite. Yes, there is a need for unity. There is a need for solidarity, but not with a right-wing agenda. There is no basis for unity with right-wing ideas. There is no basis for unity with Wall Street ideas and priorities. We do need to build unity and solidarity, but across race and gender and national origin lines, but among the 99%, so that we can reject a divisive agenda on the basis of ethnicity, on the basis of gender, and really fight for a society that delivers decent standards of living and protects people from oppression.
Now, there has been a petition that was started to remove you from the city council for, quote, abuse of power. As of this recording, over 17,000 people have signed it. However, it's not clear, of course, that those are mostly people from your constituency in Seattle who elected you. What do you make of this petition, and could it have any impact?
I'm not sure if it could have an impact, because, as you said, you know, I think a petition to recall needs to have signatures from people within the district that voted for that elected official. And these are signatures from all over the country. But it's a very interesting thing that has happened where it reflects. I mean, when the people who have supported Trump so far are really angry that I've spoken out against his agenda and have file this petition, I think it's going to be a very interesting educational experience for everyone as Trump's real agenda unfolds. You know, and he said he's going to drain the swamp. I have no doubt that the people who supported him on that basis are going to see that in the coming months, he is going to completely betray them to the same extent that they have felt betrayed by the Democratic Party establishment, except the key difference between what the Democrats have done and what we face right now is that it is not just a pro-corporate agenda, but it is also a deeply disturbing right-wing agenda. And I think that the support that he has right now is going to crumble in the coming months and years, because they're going to see month after month, year after year, him letting them down on in the same way that they felt let down by others. But at the same time, the petition also has energized a lot of people with progressive ideas. I have seen incredible numbers of people who were never political before who have messaged me, messaged other people in my organization, Socialist Alternative, saying, I've never been politically active, but now I feel called upon. I feel like I can no longer stand on the sidelines. I need to get active because I don't agree with this direction for our society and I need to do something about it. So I think we're seeing several things happen at the same time.
And in so many ways, you represent exactly the demographic that white racial resentment has been mobilized against. You're a woman, you're brown, you're an immigrant, but you've also been successful at what you do. That success of brown folks, of people of color, is part of what I think causes some sectors of the white community to resent and fear people like you, people like me, people like many of us who, in spite of the structural and systemic racism that we face, might have managed to make our voices heard. How do you think that can now be mobilized to have more people like you come forward? Is your party, Socialist Alternative, going to try to use this moment as an organizing moment to get more folks like you with your values in city councils, in Seattle, outside Seattle, et cetera?
That's a very good question. In fact, when Socialist Alternative calls for protests the day after the election, actually, no other organization, whether it's the labor movement or the Democratic Party, actually had called for protests. Everybody was in a state of shock. And Socialist Alternative called for protests in Seattle, in Philadelphia, in Boston, and in New York City. And together, we mobilized nearly 50,000 people out on the street. And many of them are very young people, high school students, college students, many of them young people of color, many of them from an immigrant background, and interestingly, many of them from yours and mine shared South Asian background as well. People who are saying that, you know, we have a stake. I'm a person of color. I'm an immigrant, and I have a stake in directing where the society goes. And I have no doubt that this is the key moment for organizing the left and organizing people of color, people from oppressed groups, to be at the forefront of this struggle. We have to build this united struggle, a united resistance against racism, against xenophobia. And it is not only necessary, but I think it will be inevitable that people of color will step into leadership roles. What is not inevitable, though, is that we will have successes, because for having a success against a right-wing agenda and for having the kind of success that you mentioned, Sonali, that we've had in Seattle, it was not automatic. It required a very conscious leadership in the form of our organization, Socialist Alternative, to recognize that there was a void that the left could step in and potentially win. So when we ran our first campaign for city council in 2013, we had no idea that we were going to win, but we thought it was the correct thing to do because people are angry and people need to see an example of a different kind of politics. You know, what's on offer all the time is right-wing Republicans, or you have corporate Democrats who are different than the Republicans. We shouldn't make a false equivalence between them, but also have betrayed working class interests. And you mentioned, you know, the white working class that voted for Trump. They voted against NAFTA. They voted against trade agreements and Wall Street billionaires who have eviscerated their standards of living. But we have to remember that black people were far more decimated by those same trade deals, by the same Wall Street agenda. And as a matter of fact, Clinton failed to win this historic election against the least popular candidate in U.S. history because she failed to mobilize black voters. She failed to mobilize Latino voters as much as she could. She failed to mobilize women voters. And that shows not that people are supporting Trump, but that they stayed out of the election because they didn't really see that any either of the candidates represented them. And so what Socialist Alternative has done offers a counterpoint to that, that, you know, working people, young people, women, people of color, we can mobilize ourselves, but that none of this is automatic. We have to really step into the void of leadership and provide leadership. But for that leadership to emerge, we need organizations. We need organized struggle. So not only would I appeal to your listeners to check out socialist alternatives, but I would also make the appeal that we need to go beyond that. We need not only to build organized mass movements in our workplaces and on the streets and on our campuses, but we also need a political vehicle, a political engine for these mass movements. And for that, we need to fight for an independent party of the 99%, because we can no longer continue with the failed strategy of supporting corporate Democrats, because that has shown to be completely ineffective.
And so do you hope that people could start party chapters with socialist alternative in their own communities where they may not exist right now, and start at a city council level? Because sometimes, we have third parties that go from no political office to running for Congress or president. Maybe, starting closer to a local level is a more attainable starting point?
I think that is very true. It is important for us on the left not only to be principled, but also be strategic. So to your point, yes, it's absolutely true that running local campaigns is a more tractable project to take on in the grassroots. But I think there's one really important lesson that we need to derive from our experience in Seattle. See, when we ran the first campaign in 2013, we won massive numbers of votes. You know, we ran a citywide election, we won 95,000 votes, which is really important to understand that how big the opening is for a real radical left alternative. People are open now, especially the younger generation. We need to stop thinking that we need to run in the center and not really rock the boat, and that's when voters will come out. As a matter of fact, voters will come out and people will come out into struggle when you really provide them a vision away from corporate domination. But when we ran our re-election campaign last year, after having won $15 an hour, the historic victory, after having won many victories on housing justice as well, what we saw was that just because it is a local campaign doesn't mean that the Democratic establishment, the ruling class, won't go after you. Yes, it is easier to run local campaigns, but it is also important to understand that if we are really trying to build an alternative away from a Wall Street-dominated politics, then whether it is local or national, we have to remember that if we are running genuine campaigns that are gaining ground, that are really energizing people and that have real opportunities to win elections, have no illusions. The Democratic Party establishment will go after it. So what happened in our re-election campaign last year, and this is Seattle, remember, we're talking about, there's no Republican to speak of. There's no Republican domination to speak of. It is me as a socialist and everybody else on the city council and the mayor. They're all Democratic Party establishment people. What happened was the Democratic ruling elite in Seattle went all out to try and defeat our campaign last year. They ran an African-American corporate Democrat against me who was funded by every corporation that fought against $15 an hour. And it was so bad that towards the end, she even had a Republican plus Democratic super PAC funding her campaign. And yet we won decisively, precisely because we stood very clear. We took no corporate money. I have never taken a penny of corporate cash. I stand very solidly and unambiguously on the side of working people, on the side of oppressed minorities, and I fight openly against big business. That is the kind of approach we need, whether we're running local campaigns or national campaigns. And for that, we really need a political vehicle. And that's why, as I said, I'm appealing to everybody to think about an independent party for the 99%. But as a starting point, I would also urge people to check out socialistalternative.org. And as you said, yes, we want new chapters of Socialist Alternative start, new branches. And we also have launched Socialist Students, which are socialist, organized students on campuses. We've launched them in cities like Seattle and Boston and New York City, and we want them to grow.
I think the point that you made about the platform you ran on and continue to promote benefits everybody, right? Economic justice benefits everybody, but it benefits everybody equally. And there might be some people in this country who don't like that equally part, but the fact that you're fighting for all Seattle residents is a really, really important point. Finally, Kshama, I want to just ask you whether the horrific attacks that you have been aimed against you in the wake of the protest that you spoke at that involves somebody calling to your office and saying they would tattoo a swastika on your forehead, whether that, how you deal with that? Because I don't want to downplay the fact that anytime a person of color has this kind of racist abuse hurled at them, you know, we're not magical beings who can just walk away from that. We're not, able, it causes trauma. I'm sure in your life you've experienced these things before. I know I've experienced them. And every time it happens, it's like a punch in the gut and you find a way to keep going, but it's still important, I think, to acknowledge that it hurts deeply.
Yes, I really appreciate you stating it in that manner. I completely agree. We should not make the mistake of trivializing it. And I really agree with you on a personal level. It really does feel like a punch in the gut every time it happens. And it is chilling. You know, when somebody calls you and says, I'm going to tattoo a swastika on your head or go back to India, racist, misogynist epithets hurled at you, it is extremely hurtful, and it is chilling. And for me, the way I deal with it and the way we deal with it in Socialist Alternative is by reminding ourselves that if we are facing these attacks, imagine how many potential horrific attacks lie on the horizon for people like us, people like look like us, immigrant women, women of color, Muslim people. What's going to happen to people who are Latino? What's going to happen to Black and brown people in general? What are the attacks going to be on the LGBTQ community? Already we see a surge in hate crimes. We see a surge in bullying incidents in schools. And so I think every time that I have that directed at me, I remind myself that, I'm in the public eye. Actually, in some ways, that acts as its own protection. I have so many messages of solidarity flowing towards me. But I think of all the people, all those people who are going to have to deal with this in their individual lives and will have no real political force to give them hope, give them protection, make them feel like people are on their side. And that is why the only way we can really approach this is by not by individuals dealing with individual crises and having neighborhood support you, which all of that is important. You need to have your family and friends support you. But ultimately, the only thing that works is for us to get politically organized so that we build a political wall of resistance against this kind of hate. That is how we achieve marriage equality. That is how we've achieved anything we've been able to achieve on Black rights, on immigrant rights, and on women's rights. So it is so urgent for us to get to work. And so I would really urge everybody who's horrified by what's already happened and fearful of what could happen, let's make it our topmost priority to build mass peaceful demonstrations nationwide on January 20th, including mass walkouts from high school and college campuses. And on Saturday the 21st, of January, let's make sure that Washington, D.C. is an ocean of ordinary people speaking out against bigotry.
Kshama Sawant, I want to thank you so much for all that you do and for spending this time with us. We hope to have you back on our program in the future. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Sonali.
I've been speaking with Kshama Sawant. She is the Seattle City Council member who was the first socialist to be elected to that body, affiliated with the Socialist Alternative Party. This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can listen to the interview that we did last week with Bernie Sanders and all our other interviews. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/RU with Sonali.